The Cap'n J-Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Go to titoshometowntales.com and hear the stories of Chicago's defining sports moments through the lens of your favorite ESPN 1000 hosts. That's titoshometowntales.com.
Cap J-Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J-Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
That's why I see him in the
shot. No Shot with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I see him in the shot.
Good morning and welcome into the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you still to come. We have Albert Breer, our Monday morning quarterback from SI.com, will be with us at 8:35. He's hot about these concussions. He's not happy about how the league has been officiated, that's for sure. So we'll talk to Albert about that. But first, we got Shot or No Shot, and it's brought to you by
PointsBet Sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Download the app right now. Live bets, exclusive in-game, same-game parlays, the lightning bets, and for the ponies. Thank you, Secretary. Good morning. Hope you're well.
See you dead.
The Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app.
From the grave. Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Good morning, boys. How we doing?
Well, Cap is still thinking about Secretariat. Still alive in his heart.
Call your doctor if it lasts more than 4 hours, Cap.
Wow.
Oh!
Still a regret that I did not have lunch and go down to Claiborne Farms. Anyway,
you go to Hawthorne and just talk to any horse if you'd like.
No, it's not any horse. Okay. It's the greatest horse ever with a heart 1.5 times... the size of its competitors.
Okay, that would be you, actually. Then you'd be Secretariat of ESPN 1000.
Thank you. Shay.
All right, boys, I have a few questions about the Bears, focusing on their Thursday night matchup a little bit. The first I want to ask is...
What's wrong with you, JR? What's the problem?
I was just thinking I'm going to probably have to go to lunch with Cap before, you know, I can't anymore.
He called you a horse. Hey, man, you're not a horse, but you are the goat. That's for sure.
JR's got a little tear going down his cheek.
You guys are all just envisioning. He's gone. Let's go.
All right. I want to ask about parity in the NFL, which is at an all-time high. Seemingly every game is tightly contested. Last night, we saw a one-point game between the Chargers and the Chiefs. 11 of 16 games in Week 5 finished with final score differentials of a touchdown or less. Even Tom Brady was asked about competitive parity being closer than ever. He said he's seen a lot of bad football. Every team in the NFL has at least one win. Mm-hmm. Only one team is undefeated. The Bears are one-point favorites on Thursday night now after opening as dogs. With a win, it would be 3-3, would shock the world after 6 weeks and in the thick of the NFC North race. So my question, shot or no shot, with the NFL tighter than ever, the Bears could actually play meaningful games in December?
That's a no shot. That's a no shot. I know where you're going with this because I believe they're going to beat Washington. My partner's not sure, but 3-3 through six games, I'll take that all day, even in a rebuilding year. But Shay's point is well taken. Look at this league. Everybody's average except for a few teams like Philadelphia. Actually, just Philadelphia and the Bills.
I'm going to say no shot.
Meaningful games in December, no shot.
No shot.
No.
No shot. Just, again... Justin showed progress the other day. No shot.
Can I just tell you something?
They have no talent.
How about this? If there are meaningful games in December, we got to change our vacation plans.
Correct.
Oh, I mean, God.
Look at these rebuilding teams, though. Like, we enter the season. The Giants are in a rebuild. They're 4-1. The Jags are in a rebuild. They're 2-3 now. They've struggled a couple weeks, but they've looked really good. A lot of these teams that you enter the season, you go, they're rebuilding, are winning. So I look at this league and I'm like, wins might be easier to come by than ever because the talent gap is so small if you're not the Bills, the Chiefs, or the Eagles.
It's a good point, though, don't you think?
I mean,
look at this league. I mean, everybody's average to above average except for those two few teams he just mentioned.
The Chicago Bears will not be playing meaningful games in December. There's zero chance.
I say no shot. You say no shot.
if it is, oh God,
Merkin, we got to revise that schedule.
Seriously, if it's going to be meaningful games, we're going to be in here in December.
Yeah,
we're still in here. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, it's usually off around the holidays.
Merry Christmas. Do you think Justin Fields is the guy? 3-1-2-3-3-2.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, but seriously.
By the way, you know there's a guy out here putting up Christmas lights.
I see this guy, yes.
He's around the light poles?
October 11th.
Well,
That's disgusting.
I just had an impromptu shot or no shot about it because I noticed it as well. I was going to ask you, or no shot, Christmas lights after Columbus Day is appropriate.
That's a no shot. I mean, you want to do it after Halloween. And I know you people that's putting up decorations. I see you people in the suburbs in the city. You know you're going to keep those up through the holidays, too. You're going to keep them. They're on the evergreens and on the roof and everything else. A lot of you guys will not take those lights down. You'll just mix them in and put a few more Christmas lights up. But you're leaving them out there until the end of the Christmas holiday.
Yeah. It's not appropriate. No shot. Not appropriate. 75. It's way too early.
72 degrees a day. Christmas lights
are on. Come on, man. What are we doing? I break out in hives when I see the back-to-school sale.
Shay.
All right. It's no question the Bears need help at wide receiver. One name in particular may have moved from potentially available to on the market, and the Bears have been linked. After firing head coach Matt Rhule yesterday, the Carolina Panthers have made it clear they are open for business, and that will include wideout DJ Moore. The 25-year-old Moore's production has dwindled in the Panthers' offense with a rotating door at quarterback, but could be a reclamation project for Chicago and aid in the development of Justin Fields. So my question, shot or no shot? The Bears should trade for DJ Moore.
I'm not giving up a top 10 number one pick. They're going to ask for your number one. No shot.
Depends on the deal. It's got to be something for the future.
If I can trade a second round pick.
Down the line. Third round pick. Few. I can't.
You're not getting my number one. No shot.
That's got to be down the line as far as a deal. So, but again, where are you going? What's Do you feel, I like Shay's question because, say, for instance, the Bears beat the Commanders on Thursday, which I think you're 500. Do you roll the dice if you're Poles, or do you stick with the plan? The plan is to keep playing Smith, Marsette, and Dante Pettis.
You stick with the plan. It's a bad football team.
To take, excuse me, take.
That's exactly. Cap, I don't know what you're watching. There's so much talent on the roster. Stop yourself. There's not.
That's not the Bears guy that's talking to you. That's the Cubs guy. He says there's a lot of talent in the Cubs. That's that guy.
There are the lunatics out there that I think there's talent to win 11 football games. You have to schedule 70 games long.
Shay.
All right, I want to ask the Bears' upcoming opponent. They will play the Commanders on Thursday. And there's a little controversy going on at the quarterback position after Ron Rivera made some comments yesterday. Take a listen to this.
Aaron, following up on John's question about the Giants, you know, they're up to a faster start. The Eagles, the Cowboys, you know, they've kind of all been rebuilding too the last couple of years, and it seems like they're farther ahead. Why do you think the teams in the division are farther ahead at this point?
Quarterback.
Oh, God.
I mean, with quarterback, like the Cowboys, for instance, they don't have Dak Prescott this season and still have been able to.
Well, they started with him, Dak, but they've... and they built around Dak, and the offense is built around Dak. Their backup's a guy that is very solid inside of it, inside of what they do. And the truth is that this is a quarterback-driven league. And if you look at the teams that have been able to sustain success, they've been able to build it around a specific quarterback.
Chose the quarterback here, though, so do you have any regrets about that, or how do you...
No, I got no regrets about their quarterback. I think our quarterback has done some good things. There have been a couple of games that he struggled. But you look at his numbers from yesterday, and you would say, okay, look at his numbers he's had throughout the year. There was a time he was, you know, very solid. And then, you know, we had the unfortunate Philadelphia game, and he struggled a little bit in the Dallas game. But the way he performed yesterday, it just shows you, you know, what he's capable of. And, you know, we chose him because we believe him. We chose him because we looked at what we felt were things that pointed towards him.
Little lengthier there, but I wanted to make sure we got all of it so you had the context. He also clarified his statement, saying other NFC East teams have had time to build their offenses around their quarterbacks. Washington has not had that advantage. They're still breaking Carson Wentz in. That did not stop former Washington quarterback Alex Smith from going on Monday Night Countdown and saying the following, quote, "When I heard that, I couldn't believe it. This is a defensive head coach that is absolutely driving the bus over his quarterback." So, shot or no shot? Ron Rivera threw Wentz under the bus.
Yeah, I'm going to say no shot because I think he qualified it. And he said they've also had time to build around their quarterback. You know, Jalen Hurts got A.J. Brown, and they have an amazingly good offensive line, and they got Miles Sanders, and they went and got all these people, Devontae Smith. Washington hasn't been able to do any of that.
You have you have the worst offense in your division. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you take Jalen Hurts, you take Cooper Rush / Dak Prescott, you'll take Daniel Jones. Hats off to him. Maybe you do have the next Eli Manning. We'll see. But yeah, he's right. So what's the difference? Well, quarterback and quarterback stability.
Correct. This guy's what, 5 games into his career there in Washington? He did not drive the bus over.
Now, if you want to use that to fire Chico, go ahead. If that's what you think that needs to be done. But all I know is that Ron Rivera has kept some stability in that tumultuous Washington Commanders organization. That owner, Daniel Snyder, is he still in hiding, by the way? Is he around?
Yeah. I mean, it's an awful organization. If you believe what you hear coming out of there, there probably will be a change coming. I listened to Boomer Esiason this morning on a different show. He was saying there's been talk that Rivera's lost that locker room a little bit. So we'll see what happens, but
he's the boss. You know what? He's right. And if the truth hurts, so be it. It's true. It's about stability at the quarterback position.
Yeah, I'll be surprised if they fire Chico. They got how many more years and how much money left?
Hey, Matt Rhule just got fired with $90 million wrapped up.
But they have turned the entire organization over to Chico.
Yeah.
He hired, I think, his daughter and a bunch of other people to fix the culture there. I'll be surprised if he gets fired. Again, if he's lost the room, Shea may be right on the money. We'll see.
I think that because of what's been going on, as we've read about the Washington Commanders and that owner and just the way that organization's built, I think Ron's at least been a steady hand so far, even though the team is underachieving. Go ahead, Shea. You got one more, please?
By the way, he got a 5-year deal at $7 million a year in 2020.
He's a friend.
I love Chico.
Yeah, he's a good friend.
He was my radio partner. You were his producer.
I was.
There you go.
Speaking of head coaches or managers, according to Bob Nightingale, 3 names are leading the way for the White Sox managerial candidates: Bruce Bochy, Ron Washington, and Mike Schilt. So shot or no shot? The White Sox were never really interested in new school managing.
I'm going to say no shot because Rick Hahn is not tipping his hand who he's involved with. And just because those guys are older doesn't mean they aren't new school thinkers.
Who was that supposed to be, though, on that list, Shay, that's supposed to be, as you mentioned, quote-unquote new school thinkers? I kept seeing veteran managers or veteran guys.
I wrote down a bunch of names that Shay mentioned in the meeting. Ron Washington, you just said Bochy and Schilt.
The full list from Nightingale was Bruce Bochy, Mike Schilt, Ron Washington. Those are the top 3.
Yeah.
Then John Gibbons, Bo Porter, Joe Girardi, and Joe Maddon.
Gibbons? God almighty, where's he been? We got to dig him up from the grave? The old Toronto guy?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Tell you, that's a lot of old school names, man.
Almost swore. John Gibbons.
Like, Joe Girardi is old school, but he's analytics. He was a chemical engineer? An engineering degree from Northwestern.
Oh, he's very smart.
Like, he's brilliant with the analytics and all that.
I love Ron Washington, my man with the cigarette behind his ear.
He's the guy in the movie Moneyball. I'll teach one of the fans how to play first. That was Ron Washington.
Yeah. He should deserve another bite of the apple. I would agree with that. I just...
Tell him, Wash, it's very easy to play Earth. It's incredibly hard.
Wash. To me, it's Bochy off the top shelf. If he's available and ready to go, that's top shelf. That's my Billy Donovan hire for me.
67.
Yep.
Not that that's old.
WMAQ. What about that's it? No, I think at the he's my top shelf guy. How many years do the Sox need to be able to get to the World Series and win it?
Two.
It'll be 69. Nice.
Great number.
Go ahead, Shay.
All right, we will go around the NFL. We've got we got overreactions too around what we've seen in the NFL. We'll get to that. Albert Breer at 8:35. All part of the mix on Cap and Jay Hood. Come on with us.
Cap and Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It is time to go around the National Football League. Along with David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you for Captain Jay Hood. Still to come, our guy Albert Breer. We'll talk to him about the Bears and some of the storylines around the NFL right here on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000. Time now to go around the NFL. Here's Shay Norling. Shay?
I have a couple players, one current, one probably former, I want to ask about, and then we'll get our overreactions in. The first is Russell Wilson. We never got to this last week, but he had a very awkward post-game press appearance after his Thursday night football debacle with the Broncos. I want you to hear the end of it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
That's right.
A little let's ride as he's walking away from the microphone after a 12-9 loss where he didn't have a touchdown pass against the Indianapolis Colts. Is this guy the cringiest dude in the NFL?
Yes.
Cap, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Cap knows I have information on the Broncos, which I will not disclose. I'll just say this much. Russell Wilson is very polished. And for him to walk away after a loss and say, Broncos country, let's ride, is very collegiate. It's like Fitzgerald saying, go Cats, wherever he goes, right? Mm-hmm. It's very collegiate. He's just trying to rally the troops. And, yes, he can be very cringy and very awkward. But the polish is there, Cap. If you met Russell Wilson, right to the eye, strong handshake, want to really find out how you're doing but not really caring, it's just like, that's who he is, though.
Yeah.
Right? But when you meet him, you'll be like, well, we're the greatest person in the world, Russell Wilson.
Thank goodness he's not our quarterback.
Yeah. Just, I mean, you see the tail end at times when you watch Russell Wilson. So, yeah. I would say so, Shay.
You imagine how awful things would look here if we had given up three number ones, a two, a player. Oh my God.
He would struggle in this offense, too.
Forget what they gave up to give him. They paid him $250 million.
But I'm saying, Shay, before you were with us, we almost got him.
I know. And can you imagine if the Bears were on the hook for $250 million for him to look like that?
Oh my God.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country.
That's right.
That's right.
Hey, man, he's living the gimmick, isn't he? The Broncos guy, he had to come up with something. Let's ride. And that, now it's a hashtag. All right, Shay.
The next player I want to ask about is a wide receiver who claims he wants to find his way back in the league, but you wouldn't know it from his actions. Antonio Brown has found himself all over the news, TMZ in particular. His antics include flashing his dong at a public pool, photoshopping himself into Giselle's living room on a "Daddy doesn't live here anymore" meme, and now tweeting an altered logo of the Arizona Cardinals mocking mental disability. So is this guy just the worst dude on social media right now?
No, I mean, it's a photo finish between him and Kanye West.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is.
Both of those guys could be blasted to the moon right now. They really both need some help.
Just go away.
But Antonio Brown, so what are you saying? Are you saying that because Brady's going through a divorce that you're going to slide in and there's all of a sudden it's going to be, look who's coming to dinner? Is that what,
that's what he's saying.
Is he Sidney Poitier in that spot?
I'm going to come pick the kids up. All right, Antonio will have them, so just meet him.
What? I keep seeing this thing where he's hugging Giselle. That's a picture too, right? Am I missing that, Shay? I keep seeing that picture.
Correct. No. It was a picture when he was still in their good graces.
When he was living with them, right? Brady brought him back to Tampa after the Patriots debacle, and then he ends up living in Tom and Giselle's house in Correct. Tampa Bay.
It's just, what do the kids say, JR? Gross? Is that what your daughter, gross?
She says a lot of stuff. This is a clear case of keep your friends close and your enemies closer. I mean, he was in their house.
That's right.
What a jerk.
Every morning with Cap. All right, Shay.
All right, let's get to our overreactions, Hoodie. Do you want to kick us off with NFL overreactions, Hoodie?
Yes, I have an overreaction. Based on what I've seen, Shay Norling, JR, Cap, I will tell you right now, the Rams, their championship window's closed. That'll be the end of that for the Rams. Smart, Sean McVay, all the pompous circumstance with a brand new stadium. Stafford sucks. Championship window closed. That'll be the end for the Rams. Bam! Just like that.
That offensive line is horrendous. And then when you factor in Stafford getting the secret injection in his elbow over the offseason, then questions about if he could throw her anymore, his elbow looks cooked. That team to me is dead.
Hold on a second. You have a brand new stadium, and it sounded like a Dallas home game on Sunday.
It did.
Are you kidding me?
I was watching the game. I got up, and I heard this cheering. I'm like, oh, the Rams must be back in. And I walked in. Dallas had sacked Stafford. And I'm like,
a roar.
Wait, I thought this game was in L.A. Oh, it is in L.A.
Cap, it was a nice little story. And because we looked at them like we looked at the Dodgers, right? They don't care. They'll spend money over the cap, whatever it takes, right? It's done.
Done.
That'll be the end for the Rams.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I don't think it's an overreaction.
No, I think not because there's 2-3. Look at the team. They can't run the football. McVay, the genius, can't get, I mean, until he gets a new quarterback in there, that's done. That iteration of the, done. All right, what do you have?
I'm going to tell you that the Buffalo Bills are clearly the best team in the NFL, and it's actually not that close. And when they're healthy, no one will beat them in the playoffs. It is a lock, stock, and barrel deal. If they're healthy, stop yourself. The Chiefs aren't. They're good. They're not at that level.
16-1 cap?
They're too banged up, and they'll sit guys, so I can't tell you the record for the season. But if they're healthy rolling into the playoffs, Buffalo's hoisting the flag.
Maybe they should pick up OBJ.
Championship flag is flying.
Maybe they should pick up OBJ.
How about OBJ and Christian McCaffrey?
Well, that'll solidify it. That punches the ticket.
It'll be Rams West, Rams East.
Shay, give us an overreaction.
Kyler Murray is the Ben Simmons of the NFL. Oh. You have a guy with all the talent in the world. One of the most talented athletes we've seen in this league. And he's just not interested in getting better. Wow. Whether it's the homework clause, whether it's the Call of Duty release, comes out October 28th this year. Watch out for that. It feels like Ben Simmons, man. This kid at LSU, Ben Simmons, dominant. And then what happens? Plays one semester, stops going to class, goes to the NBA. I don't need to work on a three-point shot. I don't need to work on a mid-range. I can dominate the way I've always played. Kyler Murray's the same guy. He's dominating the way he's always played, but it's all on talent. And then he does dumb things like slide into a 3rd-and-1, spike, force your team to kick a field goal from long range with a bargain bin kicker. He doesn't understand the game because he's not interested in getting better. They're the same guy.
Wow. That is strong. It's quite strong.
Quite strong.
What do you think of that? Kyler Murray, Ben Simmons. Wow. That's good.
I can't quite go to
what
that
do you mean?
Level.
Well, what are you seeing from Kyler to tell you he's a next level guy?
I don't think he's as whacked in the head as Ben Simmons is.
You got hit in the head, Ben?
Ben's nuts. I think Kyler's more of a competitor.
That's a tough thing to say, Cap.
Kyler's more of a competitor.
That's a tough thing to say. He's nuts. Is he? Because he won't shoot threes?
He's going to practice with a cell phone in his pocket. I mean, just that's not Kyler.
But he just laid out for you, like, you know, whether or not he works hard and had to put a clause in his contract for him to actually study. That's a little bit weird. You don't have to tell me to study. It's right here, pal. You don't have to put that in my agreement.
Correct.
It's on the yellow pad.
That's it.
Interesting. All right. That is our look around the National Football League here on ESPN 1000. Albert Breer on the NFL and the Bears next on Chicago's Home for Sports.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
Well, what do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Here's a man who loves his fiddlehead beer, watching Monday Night Football like the rest of us. Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com joins us every Tuesday at 8:35 here on Cap and Jay Hood. Good morning, Albert.
You enjoy the halftime periscope there, Hoodie?
It's the best.
Yeah.
You were so freaking aggravated yesterday.
I think a lot of us are
with the officiating, right?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you look at it and there is, in one sense, I feel for the officials because it's hard when, you know, there's the player safety thing and everybody's talking about it in the wake of Tua a couple of weeks ago, when you're trying to balance that versus, you know, where is the line and where is it too much? What I don't like about all this is the lack of accountability, right? Like, and I think if there's going to be a public trust here, it can't be Carl Cheffers or Jerome Boger over the weekend, you know, coming out after making these mistakes and saying, well, I was totally justified. Like, it's fine to explain your reasoning. It's also fine to say, you know what, I might have gotten this one wrong. And I think that's the problem, you know, is in a lot of these cases, the officials aren't held accountable. And, you know, in the case of last night, you know, obviously, you know, it happened in the second quarter, so it wasn't as consequential as the Grady Jarrett hit. But, you know, these can be big game-changing decisions. And, you know, when you only have 17 of them, you can understand where there'd be a lot of frustration on the part of players and coaches.
All right, let's get closer to home. Bears looked pathetic for most of the first half against the Vikings. Kirk Cousins, 17 of 17 to start the game. And then they made some adjustments, and Justin actually played his best game of the season. Your take on what you saw from Justin, and is it sustainable on a team that has very little offensive talent?
Well, you know, I think the important thing with Justin is just that you're seeing consistent progress. And, you know, the good news is, in my mind, that you got a guy who's going to work. I mean, the stories I've heard from the offseason, you know, on the job Justin did, just being diligent and being thorough with his work. If he becomes a great quarterback, you're going to hear these stories 3 years from now. You know what I mean? Like, where there was a week where the players were off and he gathered trainers to throw with, you know, at the facility. So, you know, I think, you know, there's no question about Justin's work ethic. There's no question that Justin's intelligent enough to pull this off. The question is whether or not he can get better in areas where quarterbacks generally have a hard time getting better. We've seen Jalen Hurts do it, right? Like, we saw Josh Allen do it. Like, so can he get better at throwing with anticipation? Can he get better with his pocket presence? Can he get better with his accuracy under duress? Like, these are areas where I think you're looking to see improvements. And, like, they're small steps, but we're seeing steps. And so that's encouraging. And, again, it doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to be sitting, you know, at a press conference a year and a half from now giving Justin a $50 million per year contract because he is the answer, right? It doesn't mean that. But, you know, it is encouraging to see week-over-week improvement. And I think, you know, after everything that he's been through over the last month, you know, the fact that he's able to compartmentalize some of his struggles and keep fighting through it, I think shows a great deal of mental toughness, which I think if you talk to the people in the building now, you know, and of course Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus and a lot of the other people there had nothing to do with drafting him. I think that those people would tell you that that's probably his best quality is his mental toughness.
We heard comments from Ron Rivera, the head coach for the Washington Commanders. Like, what's the difference between, you know, your team and the other teams in the division?
Yeah.
You talked about quarterback. So What are your thoughts on the Commanders? That's the next matchup for the Bears. Cap and I were talking about, hey, at least there's stability with Ron because of the tumultuous, you know, what's happening with the Washington Commanders with their front office. So what are your thoughts on that team?
You know, I sort of like, I look at it a little bit like, you know, Ron's old team in Carolina. And, you know, I don't think like Matt Rhule ever lost the locker room, you know, in Charlotte. I think it was more just the owner getting impatient, the fan base getting impatient, and you had this sort of cauldron situation where, like, you get in that game on Sunday at home, and you're overrun with Niners fans, and it's clear that, like, apathy is set in. It's not even anger anymore. Now it's turning to apathy, and the owner acts. And, you know, like, Matt Rhule did a lot of really nice things over 3 years in building the roster up. You know, I think the lesson to take from it is you can't wait forever on the quarterback. And that's what's so interesting about Ron's comment yesterday is that, you know, you're saying, okay, well, it's the quarterback. That's the issue. Well, okay, you've had 3 years to get that right, you know, and do you get a fourth year to try and find a true franchise guy? So that'd be my first thing is, like, I think they've done some nice things to build the rest of the roster up in the 3 years under Ron Rivera, and I think they're in a better spot than they were when he got there, just from a roster standpoint. They've got some nice foundation pieces on that team that you can build around. You know, the question to me is, like, how much more rope he gets. And, you know, obviously, in the short term, you know, what we're looking at is, does he lose his quarterback now? Like, is his quarterback going to be able to trust him? Because one of the big things for Ron in bringing Carson in was, we have your back. Like, you're here because we want you here. And obviously, you know, like, that comment sort of goes and flies right in the face of a lot of the messaging they've, you know, built up around Carson Wentz over the last 6 months.
So if you look at this matchup on Thursday, it came out, the Commanders were favored by a point. I think the Bears are a 1 or 1.5 point favorite. Now, people around here kind of assume, I know we're not very good, but we're going to beat the Commanders. I look at the Commanders roster, I don't think it's a fait accompli that this is a, you know, a clear Bears victory. I think it's a tough game. What do you think of this game?
Yeah, I mean, the Commanders aren't, it's not a bad team, you know. They've got some pieces. You know, the D-line, they've obviously got some horses up front. Now, Chase Young has been out, so that's they're a little less in that group, but they still have, you know, guys like Jonathan Allen and Montez Sweat. So they've got a good group there. You know, the defense has talent. The offensive line's been an issue, but they've got skill position players too, you know. And if you want to go through the list, you know, Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, you know, Dyami Brown has played pretty well for them. Antonio Gibson has been a nice piece for them in the backfield. J.D. McKissick. So it's not a bad roster. And that's why I'm saying, like, you know, in a lot of ways you could argue if you drop a quarterback in there, now all of a sudden you might have a playoff team, you know. And so that's where the Commanders are after 3 years of building. Right now, on balance, I'd say they might be more talented than the Bears. They probably are more talented than the Bears right now. But, you know, if you look at the way the season's gone, the first month of the season, I'd say the Bears have played better, have been more competitive than the Commanders have been.
What's in your phone? Give us something that you haven't written yet or told in another talk show. Tell us what you have to tell Adam Schein.
Yeah, I mean, if you want some trade talk, I can kind of give you guys that.
Oh. Like
I think that the firing of Matt Rhule in Carolina might start to goose the trade market a little bit. You know, and it always takes something to get it going. We have a little less than a month until the trade deadline. And so, you know, like, there's been a lot of, I think, you know, discussion over what's going to happen with the Panthers players, and that could loosen things up across the league. If teams are looking to get rid of players. And the two players on the Panthers roster that I'm told have elicited the most interest over the last couple of days by far are Brian Burns, their 24-year-old pass rusher, who, you know, because they haven't been very good, people don't pay attention to him. He's one of the best defensive players in football. And then the receiver, DJ Moore, who signed an extension in the offseason. And it's a very, let's just say, if you're trading for him, it's a pretty team-friendly extension. So, like, those are two names to watch. And, Yeah, I don't know, man. Like, the Bears, you look at where they are, and if they want to give Justin a weapon to try to get answers on Justin a little quicker, they could inquire there. Now, my feeling is Poles probably wants to hold on to his draft picks because they were without a first-rounder last year. But there at least is that option out there for them. And, you know, if teams are sniffing around on Brian Burns and DJ Moore, generally what that means is you'll see teams starting to sniff around on other guys at those positions as well. And so I think, you know, because of the firing of Matt Rhule, because that's prompted some trade calls to the Panthers, it could lead to things like loosening up a little bit in the trade market. And maybe we hear a little bit more of that talk over the next week or so.
All right, my friend.
Have a great rest of your day. It's going to be an interesting Thursday night game.
I'm wondering, what do you guys think of the orange uniforms?
For the Bears?
I love them.
We've seen the orange jerseys before, but obviously not the helmets, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to be cool. It's just something different. Waddle has the striped throwback from like the 30s.
Oh, my God.
It's just different. I think it's cool.
It's fine for just a one-off. That's fine.
I'm not wild about it, but you know, I like hate it when Ohio State wears alternates too. So I guess I'm like one of those old guys now.
You're the traditionalist.
Yeah, I'm shaking my fist at the cloud whenever like an old brand name franchise goes with something different. You know what I mean? Like, I want to see it's like you want to see Alabama with the numbers on the helmets every game. It's that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's all about marketing and dollars. You know that.
That's right. Absolutely.
Buddy's going to buy an orange jersey today. Have a good day.
All right, guys.
This, Albert Breer from Monday Morning Quarterback at SI.com with us here on Cap and Jay Hood.
Yeah, you need. By the way, why did you throw a dollar in the fine cup?
My question about the Commanders was clunky and terrible. It was awful.
I thought you didn't have your mic turned down.
No, it was just it was such a bad question. Instead of just asking him, hey, what are your thoughts on the Commanders? I went all the way around the bend and trying to get to Daniel Snyder, and
It was a bit clunky.
It was a clunky question.
We've all been there.
Yeah, so I find myself, because I took up too much time on the show with that nonsense.
You might want to push that down. it's a lot of money in that cup.
BernieseBookBank.org.
Take that, Darren.
All I had to do is have a little brevity in the question, and I did not, so I apologize for that.
312-332-3776.
Well. Oh, there's the number.
You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and Jay Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We're with you until 10. Then Mike Greenberg takes over at 10 o'clock. Carmen Yurko at 12, Waddle and Sylvie at 2, into Bleck and Abdallah, and they will lead you into Major League Baseball playoff action. Guardians at the Yankees, followed by the Padres and the Dodgers. I'll probably mix right here.
I'm up late again.
Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Padres, Dodgers.
Come on, Padres. Knock out the dirty Dodgers.
That's one of my favorite matchups, even though the Dodgers are the hammer and the Padres are the nail in the regular season.
Clevenger against, who'd you say, Julio Urias?
Julio Urias, right.
I think the Pods can win that game.
I love that matchup. I enjoy watching that game. Even though the Dodgers have been dominant in the regular season, I enjoy watching those two perform.
And it's minus 220 on the Dodgers. Take back plus 200.
Plus 200, Jay.
A lot of minus 200 dogs out there in the playoffs today.
Hey, take off your headphones for a second. I need to see something. Right now.
Excuse me?
I said take them off. Take them off right now. Take off your headphones. Let me take a look. Let me check you out. Let me see. Nope. His ears are clean. Yep. My partner's ears are clean. Me checking Cap's ears is as ridiculous as umpires checking Joe Musgrove's ears for Red Hot. Or
that?
Salve, or whatever he had on his ears.
Correct.
Now, when we saw that Cap a couple days ago, where Buck Showalter, God bless him, just crazy old baseball face. You know, he knows his Mets are against the wall. The Tommy Trumpet's not getting it done.
Or Timmy.
Yeah, Tommy Trumpet. He's not getting it done. And Cap, there you have it. They chucked the starter, Joe Musgrove's ears. And they couldn't find anything.
Snorling was the first one on that, and he was texting. Were you texting just me or the group?
The group.
He was texting the group. He's cheating. He's got stuff on his ears.
Mm-hmm.
And then it took off on social media because somebody put out a picture, zoomed in. That don't look like sweat to me.
But the Mets were late to check on it, though. It was the sixth, wasn't it, Jay? Fifth or sixth inning?
Yeah, it was the bottom of the sixth, and Buck came up out of the dugout and had him check, and then he got cleared. There was nothing on his ears. And then did he strike out the side? I mean, they fired him up. It was bulletin board material.
See, again, you give an athlete an inch, they'll take a mile. Clearly, Musgrove's ears. And it was a couple other, I want to say McCutcheon also tweeted that too. Andrew McCutcheon's like, yeah, he's got some on his ears because they're red like a clown. And so it's like, it's not because someone put him in a side headlock and his ears are like that. He wasn't wrestling. There might have been something in his ears. But you know what? Now you're late to the party. By the time he got to the sixth, there was nothing on his ears. It was nothing going on. He was dominating the Mets.
He was dominant. And he's a guy who would have gotten a huge contract in free agency. Mm-hmm. He was a free agent coming up. And the Padres, this little moribund market that has no support, allegedly.
Yeah.
They got Juan Soto.
Yep.
They got Machado.
Yep.
They got Yu Darvish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Musgrove will give you $100 million right now. Take it and don't go to free agency. Done. I love it here.
Yeah. And for me, I'll be a partial season ticket holder in a few years.
Yes, you will.
San Diego.
How about that?
JR, is all right for me to do some shows out there?
Peacock, I'm not home for dinner tonight. Why? Nationals are in town. I got to see that game.
Want to check them out. The other thing about baseball, too, and we're going to talk about Jed Hoyer coming up at 9:15. He had a almost hour press conference. Some juicy bits in there from Jed Hoyer as far as the future of the Cubs.
Correct.
We'll get to. The other thing, too, we talked about earlier was the automated strike zone. So now where is this now? Because we heard from Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball. He was on with Carton, right? Let's play that for us a little bit here. What did he say? There it is, the automated strike zone on the Carton show.
I think that you're going to see the automated system in one form or another. We're using two forms in the minor leagues, one where every pitch is called by the machine. The second one is a challenge system. It takes about 4 seconds for the challenge. I think in one form or another, there's a good chance we're going to be using it in the big league level at some point.
At some point, he says, you still like the human element.
I do. I mean, I'm whizzing in the wind. It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. I don't like it. Players I've asked don't want it. But it is what it is.
And what does Major League Baseball deem the strike zone? I mean, you got short players, you got tall players.
Right. There are a lot of the experiments that they've used. The automated strike zone struggles with the breaking ball. Like the really Verlander nose-to-toes curveball, they struggle with it.
JR, I know as a baseball traditionalist.
You remember for years there was a different strike zone in the NL than in the AL?
That's correct.
You remember that, right? Yep. I mean, this wasn't a myth. This was actually how it was. It's about time we get, now that we have the uniform DH, it's about time we get a uniform strike zone.
I would agree with that. But you got Altuve to judge in this league. What is it belt to knees?
Right.
What is it? And can it be consistent? That's the question.
That's the question. They struggle with this heavy breaking ball. Is it a strike? Is it not a strike? Anyway, we'll get to it after the break.
All right. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. We're talking to you about the Chicago Bears. And do you believe that Justin Fields is going to be the guy long term? Also, Jed Hoyer with some thoughts about the Cubs offseason plans. Stick and stay on Chicago's Home for Sports.